If you need a Bible, please do raise a limb, or a limb of the person who's sitting next to you. Any limb will do, and someone will bring you a Bible. Please turn to page 1062, Luke chapter 24. We're going to read the last bit of the chapter as Luke finishes off his gospel. Luke 24, from verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is God's word to us this morning. Please do have your Bibles open at Luke chapter 24. And let's pray together. Father, we praise you that your word is living and your word is sure. And Lord Jesus, this passage reminds us that without your help, we cannot understand the scriptures. So we ask for your help by your Spirit, that you would open our minds to understand what you would teach us this morning. We ask it for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. Now, one of the things you might know about me is that I enjoy watching movies and TV shows, and you've put up with many obscure references to films that none of you have ever seen over the last couple of years. Now, there's one thing that I really don't like about movies or TV series. You know when you're getting to the climax of the story, and then suddenly the screen fades to black, and three words appear at the bottom of the screen: "To be continued." And you're like, "No, I've just spent hours investing in this story and we haven't even come to a conclusion. To be continued." There's a cliffhanger. The story isn't finished. And this morning, as we come to the end of Luke's gospel, across the bottom of the screen are those same three words: "To be continued." The end of Luke is not the end of the story. What this part of God's word teaches us is that Jesus is fulfilling a plan. Look at verse 44. Jesus says to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." That's a way of talking about the whole of the Old Testament. Jesus is fulfilling a plan. It's a plan to bring blessing to the world. And as we reach the climax of Luke's gospel, as the screen fades to black, Luke wants us to see that some bits of the plan have been completed, but some are still ongoing. The story is to be continued. And far from being annoying, that's actually quite exciting. It's exciting because we today are part of this plan that is being fulfilled. The plan that we read about in Luke's gospel, Jesus is still active. Jesus is still doing. Look down at verse 50. This is the last thing that the disciples see of the risen Lord Jesus as he leaves this earth. At 50, when he had led them out of to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Do you see what happens? Jesus lifts up his hands, and then he himself is lifted up. And as the disciples look into the sky, as the clouds finally obscure him from sight, what is it that they see? They see that Jesus is active. He is blessing his people. Jesus has his hands up. And here's something cool. Jesus still has his hands up. He hasn't put them down. What he was doing as he ascended is what he is doing today. And this morning, I want us all to get excited about the fact that Jesus has his hands up. Jesus has his hands up. And that means that right now, today, Jesus is continuing on this story. He is active. He is blessing his people. And when we see that the position of Jesus is that he has his hands up, it will actually change our position as well. It will change our position. It will leave us with face down and mouths open. Probably not at the same time because you get a mouthful of dirt. But I hope that as we see at what Jesus teaches us this morning, it will leave us face down in worship of Jesus and with mouths open to speak of Jesus. Jesus has his hands up to bless his people. And the passage we're in today shows us three things that Jesus blesses his people with. The first is his peace. Jesus is blessing his people with peace. One of my favorite spots in the world is a little courtyard in the back street somewhere in Bruges. There are cobbled streets. There's a couple of nice restaurants. There's a bridge over the canal. And it's a part of Bruges where the canal system kind of widens out. So there's a little lake with flat water. And then the other side, there's a stone wall. And at night, that stone wall is lit up and it reflects on the surface like a mirror. It's a beautiful place. And I often think of this place when I'm thinking of peace, a settled calmness. It's calm and it's serene. Although, when I spent over half an hour trying to get the perfect photo of the swans gliding around, I think wrist was a little less than calm and serene. But peace is something we all relish. It's something that we crave. And in the last few days for the disciples, there hasn't been a lot of peace. They've seen their beloved leader arrested and beaten and crucified. Some of them had seen an empty tomb. And now there was this report that he'd appeared to some of them as they walked along on the road to Emmaus. And verse 36 tells us that while they were still talking about all of this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." The risen Lord Jesus bears a message of peace. But it doesn't seem like it gives the disciples any peace at all. Verse 37, they're startled and frightened. Verse 38, they're troubled. Inside, they didn't feel anything like that lake in Bruges. It was more like whitewater rapids. And why was there this lack of peace? It's because they didn't really know if the risen Lord Jesus was real. Look at verse 37. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. They were slow to believe. Even though some of them had seen the empty tomb, even though some of them had just walked with Jesus and had their eyes opened by him, and still, when he appeared among them, they had no peace. They're still not sure if the risen Jesus is real. It just seems too remarkable. too good to be true. Can the resurrection be a fact? And perhaps this morning you feel not like that calm lake in Bruges, more like the white water rapids on the inside. You don't really know if it's possible to have peace with God, real peace with God. You do anything to feel like that lake, to be sure that your sins are forgiven. Listen to Jesus, verse 38. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Isn't Jesus kind? Isn't he patient?" He doesn't say, "Oh, come on, lads, catch up. I've been alive for a couple of days now. You should have, you know, I told you about this." But rather, he calms their doubts and he quietens their fears. He says, "You think I'm a ghost? Well, why don't you touch me? See, I'm real, I'm physical. It really is me." Verse 41, they still do not believe it because of joy and amazement. But rather than getting frustrated, he gives them this further proof. He takes some fish and he puts it in his mouth, in their presence. He's showing them, "Look, when I put this fish in my mouth, it doesn't just fall through my body because I'm not a ghost. I'm real." The actual physical resurrection of Jesus is something we can be certain of. And because we are certain of his actual physical real resurrection from the dead, we can be certain of his peace. What is the basis of this peace? Have a look again at verse 39. What does Jesus say? He says, "Look at my hands and my feet." Verse 40, he showed them his hands and his feet. See, Jesus doesn't just say, "Look, touch my face. Look, you can tell that I'm real by touching my face." He deliberately directs their attention to the scars on his hands and his feet. The scars where the nails had pinned him to the cross. Scars that speak of peace. Why is it that the risen Lord Jesus can declare, "Peace be with you"? It's because on the cross, Jesus took the turmoil of God's wrath that his disciples deserve. The white water rapids pounded down on him so that we could know peace with God. How can we be sure that of the peace that Jesus gives? Because he's not a ghost, he's living. And if you don't know that peace with God, maybe it's because you doubt that Jesus' scars are real. Did he really die? Did he really rise? Or is it just a ghost story? And even as those who are trusting the Lord Jesus, isn't it true that sometimes the events of his death and his resurrection, they seem so far removed from the reality of life as it hits us week by week, day after day? And perhaps the waters are beginning to bubble underneath the surface and you're thinking, is it true? Is it real? Can I have peace? And Luke wants us to be certain that the peace Jesus brings is as real as the scars that he bears. Those hands which were stretched out and pinned to a cross are now lifted up in a position of blessing. He blesses his people with peace. Jesus has his hands up, so we can be certain of his peace. And when you're certain of peace, the peace that Jesus brings, do you know what it leads to? Do you know what happens? It leads to face down and mouth open. Face down to worship the Jesus who was scarred to bring you peace. And mouths open to speak of that peace which is found only through those scars. Jesus is fulfilling this plan to bring blessing to the world, to bring peace to those who deserve turmoil. And if you're someone this morning who does know that peace, then you must open your mouth to speak of that peace to others. What is the best thing you can do for a friend or a family member who is going through a time of turmoil? Point them to Jesus. He is the only one who can guarantee peace. Only peace with God can give us peace within and peace with others. And that peace is only found in Jesus. Jesus has his hands up. He is blessing his people with peace. The second good thing that he gives his people is his plan. Jesus blesses his people by revealing to them his plan. So Jesus, he turns to the disciples and he explains the script. Verse 44, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms in the Old Testament. Everything happened according to what I told you and according to what the whole of the Old Testament was pointing towards." Verse 45, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Last week, if you were here, we saw that some of the disciples had their eyes opened to recognize Jesus. They had their hearts burning as they read about him in the scriptures, and now their minds are opened so that they can see this big story arc, so they can understand the script, where we've come from and where we're going. Everything that had happened in the last few days to Jesus, his death and his resurrection, it was all part of a carefully formulated plan. The Old Testament is all about Jesus, and it is fulfilled by Jesus. Verse 46, he told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." This is the plan. The plan is for the Christ, the chosen one, to suffer in the place of sinners and to rise in victory on the third day. And when Jesus opens our minds, we see the significance of that. We see this wasn't a mistake. This is what will happen. This is what had to happen. This is what must happen. When Jesus opens our minds, we realize that the cross is the only way our rebellion against God could be paid for. This is the plan. And Jesus opens our minds to understand the plan. If you're someone who's trusting the Lord Jesus this morning, it's not because you're clever. You might be clever, you might not be. But understanding Jesus' plan is only as he opens our minds to see that this is what the scriptures foretold and this is what he fulfilled. But this plan is actually bigger than we might think. Because look at verse 47, the plan continues. The plan is also that repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So this, the Old Testament, it doesn't simply talk about what Jesus would do through his death and his resurrection. It goes beyond that. This plan includes what would happen after that. It includes verse 47, that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be preached to all nations. See, this passage is a little bit like a bookmark halfway through a book. You know, sometimes I have loads of books at home which have bookmarks in, because I haven't finished them. When you see a bookmark halfway through a book, you know that some of the story has already been completed, but some is still to come. And this story is to be continued. The end of Luke is not the end of the script. In fact, Luke himself, he writes a sequel. Part 2 is the book of Acts. And in Luke, we see all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. In Acts, we see what Jesus continues to do and teach through his disciples by the power of the Spirit after he'd been taken up into heaven. And then you get to the end of the book of Acts and you see those same three words at the bottom of the screen. The story still isn't finished. To be continued. The preaching of the repentance and the forgiveness of sins that comes as we repent, the preaching of that good news to all nations is still taking place. We know that, don't we? That's why we're here this morning, because it hasn't been preached to everyone who's going to respond and obey. Jesus is still working to fulfill this predicted plan. That's why we have a map on the wall at the front of the church. That's why this is my last morning with you this morning. Because actually, Jesus is still fulfilling that plan. He is working things out so that repentance and forgiveness of sins can be preached across Enfield and to the ends of the earth. And that means this is something we're a part of. Jesus has his hands up. He stands blessing his people. And actually, the first thing that he blesses his people with is the blessing of repentance and forgiveness of sins. So Acts chapter 3 tells us Jesus has been sent to bless us. And how? By turning us from our wicked ways. See, that's the starting point. And I need to make that clear. Without turning from our wicked ways and towards the Lord Jesus, we cannot receive these other blessings that I'm talking about this morning. If you don't yet know the joy of repentance, the joy of having your sins cut off from you, then this is the blessing that Jesus wants to give you this morning. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn to the Lord Jesus and know the blessing that he brings. And to those of us who have received repentance and the forgiveness of sins, Jesus still has his hands up. He blesses us with this understanding of his plan. He blesses us with the understanding of the scriptures which point towards his plan. He blesses us with that understanding so that we can take this message of repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations. You see, we need him to open our minds because he's got a job for us to do. Look at verse 48. Jesus says to his disciples, "You are witnesses of these things." The disciples were called to be witnesses, not simply those who saw, but those who speak of Jesus. And we share that calling. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, we are called to be those who witness to Jesus. You see, Jesus opens our minds so that we will open our mouths. Jesus has his hands up. He blesses us with an understanding of the plan of salvation. And do you know what it should leave us doing? It should leave us face down and mouths open. Face down in grateful worship of the one who alone can give us understanding of his word. And mouths open to speak of this glorious plan of salvation to all the nations. And where do you think we're going to go to explain this plan? How are we going to speak of this plan? Well, only the scriptures. Jesus doesn't want us to open our mouths just for philosophical debates or for our own opinions. With our mouths open, we also need to have our Bibles open so that from the scriptures we can explain the understanding that Jesus has given us. Jesus has his hands up. He's blessing his people with peace, with his plan, and thirdly, with his power. He blesses his people by clothing them with power. This week I saw some firefighters at work. It was all very dramatic. Actually, it wasn't dramatic. They were pouring water into a bin. But the thing about firefighters is that they have to have the right clothing to be able to do their job. So they need to have the heat-proof gloves and the protective gear and the special helmets and all of that kind of thing. Without the proper clothing, they cannot do the job that they've been given to do. How can we be involved in the fulfillment of this great plan? How can we be involved in this preaching of repentance and forgiveness of sins to all the nations? That seems like a big thing, right? And the only way we can do it is if we're wearing the right clothes. But here's the good news. Jesus has his hands up. He blesses his people with the right clothes. Look at verse 49. Jesus says, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Clothed with power from on high. You see, Jesus ascended on high, and from on high, he clothes his people with power. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, who he sends to empower us to continue this great plan of blessing. So if you were to read into the sequel, if you were to read into the book of Acts, we see this clothing take place for the first time. The believers are all together in one place, and with great power, the Holy Spirit comes. There's a sound like a blowing of a violent wind, and then what seems like tongues of fire separates and come to rest on the disciples. The Holy Spirit has this great power, and the question is, what is he going to do? Well, it's all part of the plan that Jesus is fulfilling. And so as you read on, you see that the believers are now enabled to speak in different languages. Why do they need to speak in different languages? Because they were to teach people from all nations. And they stood up and proclaimed the good news of his death and resurrection to all nations. This is exactly the plan that Jesus is fulfilling. He has his hands up because his work is being continued. He blesses his people with power that they might share a message of blessing. You continue on in that part in Acts. And as Peter, as he addresses the crowd filled with the Spirit, what is the application? He says, repent for the forgiveness of your sins. Know the blessing of Jesus turning you from your wicked ways. This is part of the plan that Jesus is fulfilling, the plan of blessing. You see, this is how Jesus continues the story. He does it through his people in his power. And it's only possible to do it with the right clothes on. This isn't something that they could do by themselves. Look again at verse 49. What does Jesus say? He says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Don't jump the gun. Wait in the city. If they tried to preach the repentance and forgiveness of sins in their own strength, it would not have worked. It would be like fighting a burning building in flip-flops. It might look cool, but it's not going to work. And this is something we need to remember as those who are called to be part of this plan that Jesus is fulfilling. We desperately need the blessing of his power. That seems obvious, doesn't it? But it's easy to forget. When we think about sharing the good news of Jesus, talking about things like repentance and the forgiveness of sins with people around us, we can get all caught up in making sure that we do it the right way, in trying really hard, in having clever arguments and snappy responses. We can put too much emphasis sometimes on having a slick presentation or putting on a really good evangelistic event. We feel hopeless when come out things don't really as we hoped. The blessing of repentance and forgiveness of sins is not based on our eloquence. It's not based on our confidence. It's not based on our charisma. It's not even based on our energy levels. The blessing of repentance and forgiveness of sins is entirely dependent on the power of Jesus. And therefore, in all that we do, as we seek to share him with others, we must prayerfully depend on that power. If you don't already do so, can I challenge you as something practical to do? Daily pray for opportunities to speak of Jesus to all nations. If this is something we are a part of, we need to depend on his power. And that dependence is shown most obviously in prayer. Daily pray for these opportunities to speak of Jesus to all nations. As we think about the changes that are ahead for the partnership of churches, we need to be aware that this is all part of this mission. And actually, all of us individually are sent on mission. It's not simply what we do as a church family. It's not simply what we do as a partnership of churches. Enfield needs the good news of Jesus. It needs to hear about repentance and forgiveness of sins. And that is only something we can do if we're clothed with his power. Jesus has his hands up. He's blessing us with his power. And with this command ringing in their ears, Jesus leads them out to Bethany. When he had led them out, verse 50, to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Jesus has his hands up. What's the right response? Face down, mouth open. Verse 52, then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. They worship Jesus with face down to the Master, and they praise God. What does that mean? It means they had their mouths open to speak of him. Brothers and sisters, it's been an absolute pleasure to serve alongside you in this local church over the last couple of years. We've enjoyed sharing family life with you. I've loved preaching the glories of God's word to you and serving shoulder to shoulder in various ways. And as we personally, as a family, think about the move and all the changes that are ahead, this is the best news that I can think of. Jesus has his hands up. As together, as a church family, we face this time of change and all the challenges that that will bring, we could not have a better image. Jesus has his hands up. He is blessing his people. He is active today, fulfilling this plan of blessing across Enfield and to all nations. He is bringing people to repentance and forgiveness of sins. Jesus has his hands up. And so my question for you is, will it make any difference to you? We've come to the end of our series in Luke. As you can see from the little image, we've called it mouth-opening certainties. When we're sure about something, it opens our mouth. And this morning, Luke wants us to be certain. He wants us to be certain that Jesus blesses his people with peace. Will you open up your mouth to speak of the peace with God that is only found in him? Jesus blesses us with an understanding of his plan. Will you open up your mouth to speak of this great blessing plan? And Jesus blesses us with his power. Will you open up your mouth by the power of the Spirit to take this message to all nations? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the blessing of the Lord Jesus this morning. We praise you that the Lord Jesus has been sent to bless us by turning us from our wicked ways, the blessing of repentance and forgiveness of our sin. We praise you that he blesses his people with peace with God. Thank you for the understanding of your word, which we can have only because you give it to us. And we praise you for the promise of your Holy Spirit, who lives in us and enables us to be part of this great plan of blessing. Please would you remind us again that we are part of this great plan. Would you open our mouths to speak readily of the Lord Jesus, to speak of those scars which bring peace. And Lord, all of us are in different situations. We're at different stages of life. We have different contacts and different people that we spend time with. But we pray that in everything, we might be those who worship Jesus as Lord and tell others, Jesus, he is Lord. And we ask it that his plan of blessing might be fulfilled, that his name might be glorified in the area that we live, and to all nations. In his name, amen.